Well, it's good to be with you, and it's good to know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever.
Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord.
And I'm in a retirement village now in Canberra, and my dear wife went to be with Jesus 5 years ago, and But I'm still soldiering on, so to speak, as a soldier of Christ, with some opportunities of ministry at the age of 95, actually. So much to be thankful for. Well, I came to know Jesus as my Saviour as a teenager in the UK, at a Scripture Union camp one Easter, and I thank God for that. And yet, sadly, after leaving school, I went out to Kenya in Africa. My father was an accountant, and I didn't fancy a 9-to-5 job, and so I went out as a, in Australia you would say, a jackaroo. And for about a year, I was on that farm in Kenya. And then the war came, and so I returned to the UK. And I could tell you a few things that I did in between, but eventually with I was posted to my battalion, which was then on the northwest frontier, which was in Pakistan, in a place called Peshawar. And then gradually we moved eastwards. We were surrounded by the Japs in the Arakan, which is now Bangladesh. And then we were in the advance right down through Burma. And it was just 3 weeks before the end of the war that the Japs were seeking to escape out of Burma, having failed in their advance, which was intended to reach Calcutta, but failed to do so. Their supply lines became too long, and so on. But anyway, I don't want to tell you all about that background. But in this, what happened was the Japs were trying to escape out of Burma to Thailand, and you've heard no doubt the stories of the Burma Road and the terrible things that happened to people on the building of that Burma Road. Books and films and so on have been about that. So it was in the monsoon, pouring rain, and we were sent to cut the Japs off. But sadly, when we were out on a patrol one night, the Japs captured our village from which we had come. So coming back from that patrol, tired, sloshing through the paddy fields, we came back and were ordered to retake that village, which the Japs had occupied. And it was in that battle that I was commanding the company at that time. We had to put in the final assault, and they were dug in around the banks of a reservoir or tank, mud banks. And we endeavoured to drive them out, but failed, and then it was towards the evening, daylight fading, and what happened was that I realized that there was a Buddhist temple. We could creep around the side of that Buddhist temple under the bank of the reservoir or tank. I took three or four of my men, and we came around there, and but in the prior to that, while we were seeking to get the Japs out, we had to attack across the open space towards this reservoir where they were dug in. And during that time, my second-in-command was wounded, another runner was wounded, and there was a lot of flak, a lot of bullets and everything flying around. It was only next day that I realized what had actually happened to me, because there must have been a Japanese sniper up one of the trees, a mango tree, and he saw that I was leading the attack, so he thought if I bumped this guy off, then there'll be nobody to lead the attack. And so three bullets actually struck my helmet. I have a picture of the helmet with my head in it down there. Actually, the helmet and my Bible are both in the Bible Society exhibition, which is here in Melbourne somewhere.
It's in Adelaide at the moment.
Oh, it's gone to Adelaide. Yes. So anyway, it's a real helmet, and it was on my head. But I never realized till the next day. But what had happened was, when it began to get dark, the colonel in command ordered the battalion back to the starting point in the village. So there were just three or four of us in front of the Japs. So during the night or early morning, the Japs collected up all their ammunition and gear and so on, and they streamed off across the paddy fields away from the village. Praise the Lord, because either they were going to come up the bank where we were, or else, but they decided to, they were on their way out, so to speak. So then we were faced what to do, because as far as our men were concerned, we were either dead or taken prisoner, because the colonel had ordered the rest back to the back of the village. So we decided that we would march down through the village towards our men, singing Pack Up Your Troubles and Your Old Kit Bag and Smile and army songs like that, and hopefully they wouldn't shoot us up. Well, they didn't shoot us up, and I can never forget seeing John Terry, the colonel, and a few of the others, their eyes wide open when we came down to meet them, and they then hugged us because they thought that we'd been dead or prisoner or something. It was only then that I felt a little bit sore on the top of my head. Took the helmet off. There was a scratch about an inch, little scratch on the top of my head. And so then I remembered the battle the night before. So I pulled out the foam rubber and the leather crown, pulled it out, and there was two holes, one where a bullet had entered, run round and come out down the back. You could actually, if you see the helmet, you can see the ridge that the bullet made. And another where I was crouching behind the mango tree. Maybe the helmet was a little cockeyed or something, but it entered near one ear, ran round and came out near the other ear. And again, you could see the ridge which the bullet made. The third one ricocheted off. As I looked at that helmet, as I say, I had been a bit of a backslider. In the army, you so easily go with the flow. And I had prayed, Lord, don't let me be killed because I'm not ready to meet you. So as I looked at that helmet, it was as though I didn't hear any booming voice from heaven. But it was as though God spoke to me and said, Joe, you've no right to be alive. Your only right to live is to give yourself back to me. Now, very easily, when things happen, whether it's a motor accident or whatever it is, you can say, well, I was lucky. And people often say, oh, you were lucky. But I believe it was indeed the providence of God in saving my life. Because I went on to marry, and I was a missionary. I went back to India as a missionary, and I met my wife there, who came from the other side of the world, from a little island in Barbados in the West Indies, who'd come to teach at a Bible school, and we finally emigrated to Australia with six kids. We now have 22 grandkids and some great grandkids. Going to be a meeting one tomorrow. That's really the story, but it's not quite the end of the story, because we had been sloshing through the paddy fields. My legs had been bitten by leeches. They'd gone septic. And I had 8 weeks in hospital recovering from my legs, leech bites, and which had gone septic. But, you know, God lays us aside sometimes so that we can ponder. I was 25. And it gave me time to ponder the rest of my life. Lord, what do you want me to do? Amen. And I thank God that this battle happened on the 27th of July, 1945. I was 25 years old. And yet it was a turning point in my life as I sought to reconsecrate myself to Christ and to seek his will and way for my life. So that's the story. And I just thank God for that. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. But God, in his mercy, brings us through trials and tribulations. But I want to say this, that to you older people here, whether you're retired, so easily people, when they retire, they think, well, now I can relax. I'll go around the world. I'll see this place and that there. But we need to have... Jesus had a world vision, didn't he? Go make disciples into all the world. And I thank God that I have traveled. I have been in Africa. I have been in Asia. And Pakistan, India, and so on. And I seek today to keep in touch with what the Lord is doing worldwide, so that from that there is no retirement. Yes. And we need to keep walking with Jesus step by step. I think I've said enough.